Let's pray. Jesus, today we're gathered, there's family and friends, and Lord, we're gathered together as that song says, let the poor say I'm rich. If we've got you, we're rich. Let the weak say I'm strong, because if we've got you, we're strong. And I thank you, Jesus, that you're real to us. And as silly as the world may think it is, I saw you yesterday. I saw you show up, and when we need you and you show up, for that I'm grateful, and for that I'm thankful. So Lord, help us today to truly pause and not just come to church and leave and go home unchanged. Help us to see you, that we'd be a whole lot worse off if we didn't have your blessings. If you didn't have your hand on our lives, we'd realize it. So Jesus, please help us to be grateful and thankful to you for all you have done. God, thank you for sending us your Son, your only Son. My, how grateful. If we never had anything else done for us, that alone is enough. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to come to earth, to die on a cross, practically get beat to death, be buried and rising again from the grave, and now seated at the Father's right hand there making intercession. So you hear my prayers today, and I thank you for that. For it's in Jesus' name I ask, and thank you for it. Amen. If you don't see God, you're just not looking. That's about all I can say. Amen. Gray's been getting worse and worse in the last couple of days. I know it's my fault. I probably just should have had him go ahead and have him probably put to sleep, as they say, and I just can't do that. I said, God, you're the vet. And so in the last day or so, he couldn't even hardly move. I mean, I'd have to set him in the litter box and pick him up out of the litter box. And after a while, you said, well, you got to let him go. And I said, I know. So I went to bed. It was Friday night, and I placed him on the couch over there, and I thought I could just lay him on my chest, but I got to let him be over here. Now, here's a kitty that can barely move. And I sat down at the recliner across from the couch, and I said, I'm just going to watch him. Well, wouldn't you know it, I fell asleep. And for a kitty cat that can't hardly move and has trouble moving his legs, and he's in the bed and I've got pillows around him and everything else, God says, hey, Edgar, wake up. And I wake up and I'm thinking, oh, where is he? He's down at my feet. Wow. So he gets up, comes off, walks across the floor, probably to drag himself for 10 minutes, and comes over and sits at my feet. So I reach down and pick him up and keep him on my chest. But that's a God thing. And last night when I said, Lord, you just help me, I got to let him go. And for animals that have never, you know, been loved, I don't know of any, but ours sure are. And I can look around the room. I mean, Chris, you know, you got a little doggy, right? My friend Steve Pegram is sitting over. I called him. I said, Chris, can, you know, Chris be here on time? He was. No, I just kidding. And Steve beat everybody here today because he's hungry. No, I was just kidding. Chris, Steve and I were best friends in high school, so I thought, I better go get him. But I could even remember back in high school, was it cricket? Yeah, see, that was a little dog that Steve and him had. So if you've never been touched by an animal, then, ooh. But I will stay composed, and I'm going to talk about giving thanks, but Gray's a lot better off. But that's been some prayers for me. I said, give him comfort, give him mercy, bless him, and take him on home when you're ready. And he woke me up to do that. Oh, it just breaks my heart to when they go, and I just hold him tighter, and then he goes. But I'm grateful for God. Today I want us to stop and truly think of what we are thankful for. Family, friends, pets, a home, clothes, job, sunshine, church, life, the list goes on, especially salvation. If God never did anything else but this, you ought to say thank you. We'd be on our way to hell if it wasn't for God. So if that doesn't make you get up out of bed and say I'm grateful, what's the difference between being grateful and being ungrateful? What's the difference between being thankful and unthankful? Well, most of the time it's we forget what God's done. But here's my favorite TV show of all time. If you watch only one show, watch the Andy Griffith Show. Andy come out and he enters the garage and he sees Gomer, and it's a fire. All he does is put a lid on an old barrel. That's Gomer. Andy Saves Gomer's Life is the name of this episode. And Gomer jumps up, and he later says that's a roaring blaze that Andy had to fight through. But from then on, he says this, I'll never forget the day you saved me. And Andy says, Gomer, I believe that. I really do. Because he brings him fish for breakfast in the morning. That's what he's got there. They interrupt breakfast time. He says, I know how the sheriff likes his fish. I went out at 5 o'clock and caught some. He starts helping Opie with skates. He's over there sifting flour with Aunt Bee, which ends up throwing it all over the kitchen. He just won't quit saying thank you. What do you think you can get from that? Never stop saying thank you. And finally, Andy has to trick Gomer into thinking what? Y'all have seen this episode. That he saves his life and he says, okay, now we're even. Now we're even. Of course, Gomer comes up and shows up later and he says, Gomer, I thought we were even. He says, well, Andy, you're what some people call accident prone with all those things that go wrong. So I better stick around you even more. Oh, yeah, that's up. Then there's another show called Dick Van Dyke. You've probably seen this one before. And I thought I'd give you a... So Gomer's thankful. This is a guy, his buddy Sorrell on there. He thought nobody cared about him. And Dick Van Dyke in the show, Robert Petrie shows up and's got 6 donuts in a box. He'd say, we're thankful for you. We like you. And he says, no, you don't. And he says, look, I bought you donuts. And he says, those donuts are probably fake. They probably got hot mustard or something like that. And he says, no, they're donuts. Go ahead. We're thankful for you. He says, no, you're just trying to trick me. And he says, look. And he picks up a donut and eats it. And he says, look, it's jelly in that. He says, yeah, but what about the other 5? And he says, okay, this one. Look, it's jelly in it. But then there's 4 more. He takes a bite out of every one of them and shows him that there's jelly. He says, see, doesn't that show you that we care about you? He says, care about me? What kind of friend are you? You bring me donuts and you eat all of them. So it's like he just continually gripes. You know anybody like that at work? Please don't speak ill of the family now. What's the difference between being grateful and ungrateful or being thankful and unthankful? It's this. I want to have an attitude of gratitude like the lepers did. Remember the lepers, 10 of them got healed. How many came back to say thank you? 1. I want to be that one. Never forget, that is, have a good memory of God. See, last night I had to admit, don't tell anybody, but I'm human and I was going to fuss at God. You've never fussed at God, have you? Tell the truth, real. You're on the witness stand right there. Anybody ever got mad at God? And I said, God, I just want Gray to drift right off to sleep. And he was like, just smooth. I said, that's it. Then all at once, he went like this. I thought, God, we had a deal. God says, and then he coughed a little bit, then he went ahead and left. But Bill, I want it to be perfect. And if it's not, we do that sometimes to God. God, I want the best looking wife. I have to have her. Best job, best car, best. And if it's nothing but the best, then we gripe. Won't you be more like the man? He says, I gripe that I had no shoes till I met a man who had no feet. And if you feel like you're not grateful, we can go down to the rescue mission and you'll suddenly feel better. We can go down to the hospital where somebody's probably been taken in last night that they had to cut jeans off of that were in a car wreck so they can x-ray it. Or you can go talk to Mark Price, one of our own, who's sitting there with a broke kneecap and a torn ligament from washing the top of a car. Never forget, as the hymn goes, count your blessings and daily look for blessings and you'll find them. Share what God's done with you with others. So, here we go. I'm going to ask you this. In this little thing, attitude of gratitude, never forget, have a good memory, count your blessings, and share with others. This is what we mentioned last week, and that's not even my message today, but this is just quiz time. How can you find somewhere in this section of scriptures with the 10 lepers that got healed, find me an attitude of gratitude, find me a never forget, good memory, count your blessings, daily look, share with others. Where's that at in the scripture? What verse? I realize some of you might not see the screen, but I made it the biggest font that I could. What do you think? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He didn't keep going with the other 9 down to wherever they were going. He turned back and with a loud voice, that was sharing with others, wasn't it? With a loud voice, he glorified God. He fell down. What do you call that usually in the Bible when someone falls down on their face in front of someone? We call that worship. This is an unclean leper that was kept in a colony that hadn't spent Thanksgiving at home for a long time. His mom, his dad, his wife, his children hadn't seen him because he wasn't allowed to be around others. He's an outcast. And he falls face down at his feet and gives him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Samaritans are what we call, what would you call them? What? These are half-breeds. This is sort of like the Gentiles and the Jews getting married, and here's their offspring. So everybody laughed at them. You're not a Jew, so we pick on you. You're not a Samaritan. You're not a Greek, so we pick on you. So these are the guys that no one likes. He's already got the black mark against him, thinking that society hates me. This would be like me going up into Washington, D.C., and I got to try to set in on a meeting where they're fancy. I tell you right now, a Giles County boy will never be fancy. They'd quickly find me in that crowd, I have a feeling. An imposter. Somebody in Washington says, "You're not like us." You know what I'd say about it? Thank you. Thank you. You're right, I'm not like you. And I'm not going to change to fit in. The Samaritan, you're not like us. Well, somebody loves me. Yeah, like who? About the Son of God. And when he cried out and said, "Please help us," Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed?" In other words, where's everybody else? You see, they didn't have a good memory, those other 9. Where are the other 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." He got up front to meet Jesus. So let's see what happens when we're not thankful. And you don't want to be like these guys. A woman at the well in John chapter 4, she went and told everyone what Jesus had done. Now, if you want a Bible, and I realize it's, if you need one, John chapter 4 is found. Does anybody need a Bible? If y'all want one, I'll gladly provide. Anybody need a Bible? Okay. Yes. Trish, can you give this to Marie, please? Anybody else need one? So I'm just going to read a few verses with you. Actually, I have my Bible. I had it right by the door. Then I walked out and left it. I'm guilty. I had something else on my mind this morning. I know, don't think I'm crazy, but I put Gray in the bed last night in his little bed, and he's sitting on the couch at the house. little Grace is sleeping right above him. Woman at the well. By the way, the leper that was healed, what did I say, Trey? You got it right a minute ago. He was a what? He was a half-breed. He's a Samaritan that didn't fit in society. Guess what this woman at the well is? Guess where the well is? The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was Jesus. It was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He's going to meet another Samaritan. What is this with Jesus finding the losers or the recluse or the downtrodden or the outcast? I don't know. That describes us. He goes looking for people that once they get saved, once they get healed, they'll be very what? Thankful and grateful. You can't help but notice a difference when this woman, he sits down at the well with her and he talks to her and he says, if you ever want to learn how to witness, take John 4 apart and I'll show you some C's. He comes up and he finds something in common, water. And he sits down at the well and he says, "Give me a drink." Now he's got her curiosity up. And she says, "How are you asking me a drink when I'm a Samaritan and a woman at that? And you're a Jew. Like, you shouldn't even be talking to me." He says, "Well, would you give me a drink?" And she said, "Well, why should I, basically? Well, I could give you water to drink, and you'll never thirst again." What's he talking about? That's eternal life. That's a living water. Now he's really got her curiosity up. She said, "How can you get water out of a well? You don't even have a dipper." Well, I tell you what. I can give you living water. You'll never thirst again. She says, "Give me this living water." He says, "Well, but first," now he's got to go to the tough part, conviction. "Why don't you go call your husband?" She says, "I don't have a husband." He says, "You've said that right because you've had 5 men and the one you got now is not a husband." That was stepping on her toes. So you know what people do when they step on their toes, what we try to do? We try to change what? We change the subject. So she said, "You Jews like to worship down in Jerusalem. And I've heard other people say worship over on the hill. The Methodists go there and the Baptists. You know, where do you think we ought to go to church? And Jesus says, not about where you go to church. He says, I'm looking for people that'll worship me in spirit and in truth. He tells this woman about eternal life. By the way, after he gets through talking, the disciples come up. They've come back from McDonald's. They got a big bag, hamburger. Hey, Jesus, got us something to eat? He said, I've got something that satisfies me that's not food. And they probably think, what is he talking about? He likes to hand out food that satisfies him. Disciples too worried about their next meal. And by the way, I have a feeling when this Samaritan got up and walked through the disciples, what do you think they did, brother? She's coming out. Oh, wow. What you doing talking to her? Because she needs me. By the way, what happened to this woman? She goes back and tells everybody. Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of the words, many more became believers. And they said to this woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves that we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. This woman caused what to come to that community? We'd call it revival when I was a little kid. Y'all remember that? I'm old, but week-long revival, hot summer. We only had revival in the summer because it was hot, and that's what we liked, hot. That way the preacher could talk on hell, and you could actually feel like you were there. You know, it's hot. Yeah, that's hot. And if you, and I wish I could have it on a piece of cardboard saying louder is not better. But anyway, there's a preacher in the Holy Ann Church of the Brethren, and I've heard a few times, I tell you, he'd look like a tomato for too long. You know, face red. Just they had a pulpit up there, and my daddy actually built it. He put hinges on the back. You could lift it up. It was a triangle right here. You could lift up and put the Bible. This guy whacked that right there. Thing flipped up and threw his Bible into the floor one day, and I'm thinking, I think he liked the scare tactic. So it's like, okay, calm down. Told everyone what Jesus had done. How about this? When the people in the desert complained and continually about their life. In Exodus 16:3, I don't want to go through all these. I'll just simply say this. You know what they griped about? Why didn't you just leave us be? We were better off where we were, Moses, before you brought us on this field trip. Where were they before this? Slaves. We were better off as a slave. Okay, you know what I'd have felt like saying? It's, we can go back to that. They said, we had pots of meat. We had nice fires. We could just sit around like, kumbaya. Like it was all just one big... They were slaves being beat to death. It's funny how our memory, if not a good one, we sort of forget God. Oh, we had it so good. Woman at the well went and told everyone. She's thankful. People in the desert complain. Obviously not thankful. Matter of fact, God finally came to the point and said, I've had enough. He opened up a ground and killed 250 of them for griping. Tomorrow at your workplace, wonder if God worked that way. If you'd go in and say, where's Mr. Johnson? He's gone. Yeah. Matter of fact, parking lot would probably be in. If they, tell the truth, Chris, if they killed us for complaining, there probably wouldn't be enough backhoes tomorrow to dig graves. Right, 8:30 meeting. Matter of fact, forget just getting to work. God, a red light, God. Oh, wow. Anybody ever thank God for a green light? Tell the truth. I do that. I get in the habit of that because if you're going to gripe at the other ones, I'm gonna outdo you. I'm going to praise God for the green one. The woman who was healed of her bleeding came and fell at the feet of Jesus. What did we say that was when you fall? It's called worship. King Nebuchadnezzar did not want to acknowledge God. If you'd go back to Daniel, he got the idea that he's a prideful man and he said, look at all this I've built. And God says, I'm going to give you some time to correct that attitude. Has any parent ever said that? I'm going to give you a little bit of time to correct that attitude. It says 1 year later, he was on the rooftop still saying, look at what I've done. And God says, okay, I'm going to humble you. I'll humble you. He turned him into a, anybody know this story? Turned him into a wild animal. He grew claws like an eagle, had feathers about like hair. He went on the ground and licked dew off the ground. God humiliated him and think. You think you're the most public and perfect person? I'll have you where people are laughing at you. Took him a year to learn pride. Then he finally took him After a year, he was made an animal. 7 years later, he finally repented and says, God, it's all you. Last couple here. For the last example, I'm going to check out a familiar story in Luke 15. Now, I've got you thinking here. Woman at the well, grateful. People in the desert, ungrateful. Woman healed of bleeding, grateful. Nebuchadnezzar was not. Last example, I'm going to check out a familiar story in Luke 15. And here it is. It's got gratefulness and ungratefulness packed in this story. This is called the prodigal son. Has anybody ever heard the prodigal son before? All right. Chris, go back one slide there for me. In case you need this is Luke chapter 15. So we're going to read together if you just want to listen to me. Luke chapter 15. The parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, why is it the younger one always wants to run away? Father, give me my share of my estate. Usually you ask for an estate when someone's dead. What did the young man sort of tell his dad? Yeah, give me my money. Well, I've got that set apart when I was dying. Can I have it now? So he divided his property between him. He actually gave him his inheritance early. It's a real will has not been read. This man just wanted his money. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off on a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to fields to feed pigs. Why would that be a rarity? Jews think pigs are unclean. This would be like a person who hates drinking, you get a job in the pool hall. You hate packages and you get a job at UPS. I got news for you. I hate serving food, K&W. I hate pigs. Go to the slop pit. By the way, this also describes his life. He was in the what of life. He was in the pig pen of life. This man had a great upbringing. Instead, he's squandered it on riotous living. That means he's going out and getting drunk. In today's time, this is probably smoking weed and getting drunk and sleeping around and everything. He's rotten. Matter of fact, his dad would probably use his 12 and a half to help him come back home. But his dad's not like that. None of y'all have ever done wrong things like that, but just pretend with me. He sent him to the fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. He's so desperate he wants to eat slop. Now, you've probably never eaten slop before. We had a slop bucket in Giles. Go ahead, laugh at me. My grandma would go over and shave potato peelings down in that little bucket there. And then if something, pour that in there. Here's old rotten tomato. That was a slop bucket. That went up to our pigs that were up there. So I'd carry up slop buckets to the pigs. Can you imagine going up there to the pigs, sitting down? That looked pretty good. You eating out of the slop bucket, bud. God says you can eat. Where we finally get to enjoy in heaven. Marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you want to wait and eat a feast, or do you want to eat out of the slop bucket of the earth? You can figure that out, what that means. He's eating, getting ready to eat slop. When he came to his senses, I always like it. I got that underlined in my Bible at home. What's came to his senses? What have you done if you've come to your senses? What do you think? I mean, what do you think? That means before you came to your senses, you had no sense. There you go. Hey, I found my senses. I know, because up until now, you had any sense. What's that mean, come to your senses? You finally realize, what in the world am I doing? I don't want to be real personal. I won't tell all my stories, but have y'all ever done that before? You ever do that? I mean, go through high school. Steve's actually in that class. We had a student teacher that was about this tall, beautiful. She was Miss Little. I don't remember anything. And so she come into the room, and I'm thinking, we're in love. Okay, you're probably about 16. She's 21. Suddenly, like, wow. You know, what if she'd have said, you do know I'm married. It's okay. Wait a minute. And then you go, you're slapping yourself. You're in love with a married woman. But she wasn't married. We actually just fell in love with. But we made straight A's there for 9 weeks. I mean, because we wanted to impress her. And she's like, I remember one day I was like, I just don't feel that well. She's, oh, is something wrong? What? I was lost there. Your kindness just overwhelmed me. So suddenly you get this mirage, I would call it, of I am going to get married and we're going to have a picket fence. You're crazy. And then you finally come to your senses and go, what was I talking about? Sad to say, some people do that with people that are already married. You know, you see that woman at the office? Look at her. You do know she's married. Years ago, that would have said, oh, I didn't know that. You know what that means today? Nothing. It's a challenge, yeah. Well, then I'll win her over. And God's just going, let me give you a field goal material for Trail again. I'm going to kick him over. I'm just picking on Trail. He's close to me. I can do all of us that way. You've lost your mind sometimes is what God would like to say. These guys in Luke chapter 15, this guy who's about to come to his senses, he does. But look what his brother is like. You'll notice we have both grateful and ungrateful in this story. The father was grateful his son had come back home. So after this son says, I have come to my senses. Hallelujah. Wonder why he did that. Sure, I'm going to guess. I think his daddy's been praying all the time he's been gone. I had a grandma and a mama that would pray for me. That's what got me back straight. I was doing some things wrong, and it's hard to believe. Steve, please don't tell. I was doing things in high school that were probably wrong, and I can remember being around my grandma and my mama one time saying, you know, we've heard about so-and-so. They're really talking about me. They knew what I was doing wrong. Why didn't they tell you? They loved me too much. He came to his senses. I've done that. I don't know where you were when you did it. Might have been sitting in a car and looking out at a full moon going, what in the world have I done with my life? Like a slap in the face. This man come to his senses. He said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death. Let me put that in there. They're eating supper, I'm eating slop. And that's enough of this. You know who was really slapped in the face at that point? The devil. The devil goes, oh, I had him up until now. I had him disillusioned. I had him thinking. And now he's come to his senses. I'm going to sit out and go back to my father. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned. That shows humbleness right there. Father, way different than the boy that wanted his money a minute ago. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer even worthy to be called your son. Please just make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. You think he's walking? Or is he running? I think he's flat out, yeah. I don't know, he's in a hurry to get home. I want to get away from this slop. I wonder if a guy, hey, I heard you to feed my pigs. Not today, bud. I'm going home, and matter of fact, my next meal will be a pig. No, it's going to be some kind of, the fatted calf is what he's going to have. But while he was still a long way off, now, how did the father know he was coming home from a long way off? Because he was looking for him. I think every day, father gets up, Mr. Coffee, get a little lad, comes down, sits down, but oh, I almost forgot to open up the door. There he is. Takes off running. They're going to meet each other. Now, I've read this, and I'm tending to believe this. I read one Bible scholar that said this, and I think this is true. His daddy wanted to meet him because if he had walked into town, the people of the town would about beat this boy up. You've disgraced your daddy. You're a hard, awful example. And they would have probably ridiculed him or cussed at him or fussed at him about beat him. His dad goes and protects him from that. Meets him halfway, probably throws his coat around him and his arm, come on. But daddy, brings him on home. Shelters him from the world who just wants to lash out. He finally gets him home and is like, Daddy, I can't. Oh, so good to see you. Gives him a hug. Both of them are crying. Father was grateful. He said, go kill the fatted calf. He went and got a robe, put it on him. By the way, a robe back in that time meant that you were in charge or you've been restored to your position. Meanwhile, this brother of his, second son, 2 sons, the younger one is the one that just went and got into trouble. So that would, y'all help me now, that would mean he is the older son. He should be the one with maturity. Oh my. While he's still way off, his father saw him and filled with compassion. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. Oh, it's so good to see you. Daddy, I miss you. You've been all right. You look skinny. You Haven't been eating well? Daddy, I've been, it's okay. Come on, come on. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, exclamation point, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. That means he was barefooted. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the other son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, hey, what's going on? Anybody want to be a Sherlock Holmes right here and tell me what this son has not been doing like the father? He's not been looking for his brother to come back. He's not been praying for him, not been looking for him. Matter of fact, hey, what's going on? Haven't you heard? Your brother's home. Great. Well, what a great play attitude. Can you imagine this? Come back out. The doctor's always having these TV shows that come out and we've done all we can. You know, something like that, you know. Obviously not. He's dead. Okay, so he's come out there and he says, no, we've done all we can. Well, can you imagine somebody coming out and saying, guess what? Your brother's home. Can you imagine coming out in the lobby there? I'm sorry we've done all you could. We've saved your grandfather. We brought him back. God, you know, should have known. Why'd you do that? What is wrong with you? Why didn't you just let him die? Well, that's what this guy's attitude is right now. Wow, good gracious. This guy's horrible. He's not grateful. Matter of fact, he gets jealous. And you know who he goes and argues with? Let's take on Dad. Wouldn't you want to, the Bible says, rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Try to fit in. Try to find a place. If you go to the funeral home, and people are brokenhearted, you'd want to come over and give a hug to people. I'm so sorry for your loss. You wouldn't walk in there, so celebrate, come on. Hey, how's it going? You wouldn't do that. But neither at a birth. Hey, we had baby girls. I'm so sorry. What is wrong with you? That's what he is. He's mixed up. He's got the opposite emotion. I hate that my brother's home. Wow, way to look after your kid brother. What's his attitude? Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother's come, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has been found safe and sound. The older brother became angry. Wow. If it was a runaway child and he's called mom and dad, dad answers the phone. Dad, I want to come home. Why are you calling me? Wow. That's what this brother's like. Matter of fact, if he could see his younger brother, he wouldn't be putting a ring on his finger. Your brother's come, he replied, and your father has killed a fatted calf. We're going to have a big feast. He's safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. He's not even going to the party. That's petty right there. So the father, guess what the father does? He goes out for him. So he went out and pleaded with him. By the way, if you haven't caught it by now, this is a picture of salvation. We are that prodigal son that was away, way, way, and we came back and God the Father welcomed us home. And we're going to have other people that just want nothing to do with that. And God will go out and plead with them too to come in and enjoy the feast, but they don't want anything to do with it. Older brother became angry. His father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, I could remember saying that to my daddy. No, I can't. Woo, look, daddy. Oh. Daddy says, you want some dentures? I'm going to knock your teeth. No, my daddy wouldn't. He didn't mind using a belt on us. He answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving. Wow. Do you think that's an exaggeration? Yeah, he's not slaving. For you. And I've never disobeyed your orders. Well, you've lied two times right there. You're not a slave and never disobeyed him. Woo. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends and you give him the fatted calf. What's a guy got to do? Get in trouble? Get noticed? I just thought I'd throw that in there. But when this son of yours, notice he did not say this what? Brother of mine. Disowned him right there. This son of yours who has squandered your property and with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fatted calf for him. Oh, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he's found. Second son hated his brother coming home. The father wanted to celebrate and rejoice. Second son wanted not a part or no part in that party. Father looked daily for his son to come home. Second son grumbled when he did come home. And the father had an attitude of gratitude and the second one had a not enough attitude. You never do anything for me. I don't have a calf that I can celebrate with my friends. You never really give me anything. So, if I went across the room and said, Chris, does anybody at your workplace grumble and gripe? Don't be one of them. Trails, anybody grumble and gripe? Don't be one of them. Perry, does anybody grumble? Yeah. And if you're married to him, don't. No, I'm just kidding. I was just you definitely don't want to say anything. No, I'm just kidding. I want to be different. I can remember one day a boy was caught in. He got in trouble at Salem, and I happened to be checking the mail in my box there, and Bill Garrell took him in there, and I walked in, and he said, Mr. Moser's got you in class. I'm going to ask him in here, too. I said, absolutely, and whatever the boy's name was. This boy is just rough and tough and everything. I mean, he told me, well, I said, you doing okay? Yeah, I got hit by a bus yesterday, but I'm all right. What? He said, well, a bus was coming around the shop back there, and I wasn't paying attention. I just ran right out in front of it. It knocked me to the ground, but I got back up. Man, do you have everything up there? Is it all being used? If you do. But anyway, but he was in there, and his mom and dad, he's about ready to go live with grandma, I think. And he was just broken that day. And Bill Garrell said, well, I got in a little bit of trouble today. What are you going to do, Mr. Moser? And I did something that was unheard of. I said, well, everybody grab my hand. We're going to pray. And I prayed for him. Bill Garrell said, thank you, Mr. Moser. Maybe that's why I'm not at Salem anymore. They don't like it when you do things that don't be. I'm not going to gripe and grumble. I'm going to try to pray. I'm going to try to offer an attitude of gratitude. I'm going to say, here's what God's done for me. He'll do it for you. Not enough. Wow. A story about an older man who went to feed the seagulls every day at sunset. I remind you this last week. I think I'll remind you again, all because he never wanted to forget the birds that saved his life. May we too never forget the one who saved his life. Picture this scene, an orange ball sitting on the water. Y'all who love the beach would love this. It's a big orange ball sitting on the water in that Florida coast. And you think, oh, what a peaceful scene. And here he comes, the old man with the bony hands carrying the shrimp bucket, sets it down at the end of the dock and begins feeding the gulls. It's almost like he knows them. Perhaps he does. He does this so often, he does. Soon the bucket's empty and he goes back home. And at the end of that Max Lucado story, it says this, consider this, that Eddie Rickenbacker, who went out on a secret mission, they wouldn't tell anybody, had 8 people with him, 9 people in the boat, the plane crashed, nobody even wanted to know what was going on. So they got in 2 rafts. He would later say sharks were coming by, 9-foot sharks alongside their 8-foot rafts. That'd be a little scary. And yet Eddie Rickenbacker, a strong Christian, continued had devotions. You tell me how you could have griped. We're going to die. That's enough to gripe. God wants you to help us. He will. He said one guy, a sergeant, complained, like, why do we have to get these devotions every day? He said that guy actually got saved during one of those devotions one morning. He said one person, they had to bury at sea and slide off in a raft because he drank salt water. And finally, this less than what he used to be, Eddie Rickenbacker's lost a lot of weight, pulled a hat over and said, God, you're going to have to save us, but if you don't, we'll serve you. Attitude of gratitude. Prays for some visitor from afar to come, and a seagull comes and lights on his head. And he said, this tough, tough soldier, he said, I reached up and grabbed him and had to wring his neck and had to kill him and use his intestines as fish bait. And then we ate raw fish and flesh, and we kept alive. He said, I could not do it again. I thought that was odd. This tough, tough soldier. He said, I can't do that to another seagull. And finally, they found him out there, and they were floating around, and he had lost about 30 pounds. And after, he said, I'll never forget the one who saved me. And so he felt indebted to seagulls. And Max wraps that around, may we never forget the one who has saved us. Anybody been in a car wreck in the last week? Thank God you haven't. Anybody got the house burned down? Oops. Thank God it hasn't. Anybody got a job that you can go to? Thank God you do. Anybody meeting with family? Yeah, thank God. Because not everybody has a house. Not everybody has a car. Not everybody has a job. Not everybody. I want this older brother not to ever be my M.O., as the police would say. I don't ever want to be ungrateful. Do you have relatives that are always easy to get along with? No. Do they like to gripe and complain? Yes. Again, I've had people fuss at me for what I thought was doing good things. They have this at Roanoke Valley, and I never had this at Salem. I came in the other day, and it was a basket about this deep, and it's about this round. It was filled with Reese cups and Snickers, and because I let them know at the first of the year that I like Reese cups and Snickers, and all my 60 students bought stuff and put it in that basket. And it wasn't at gunpoint either. I mean, they wanted to do it. And I had people come up and say, "We appreciate you." That made me feel what? Grateful, thankful. What do you think God's going to give in your basket? I'm just thinking he might just want to give himself to you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that today, if someone knows you not, today's the day we come home, we get out of the slop, we get out of the pig pen of life. God, it's amazing. I've met people who were very poor and didn't have hardly anything, and they'd smile from ear to ear because they had you. Because you make the difference. So, Lord, today, someone's without you. May they come to you and say, Jesus, I've come to my senses. I'm coming home. I don't care what people think. I care what you've done. You gave your life on the cross. So thank you for paying for my sins. Someone had to. And you did. So I accept that payment. Thank you for dying for me. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior. That sounds so easy, Jesus, but that's all because you've already done all the work. You said it is finished. So we just simply need to put our faith in you, nothing else. And for those, Jesus, of us maybe drifted away, then cause us to remember, look where you are and where I want you to be. If we've got an ungrateful heart, help us to just think. Look what you've done, Lord. Thought flew through my mind. I didn't want to gripe. And I said, God, I thank you for a kitty cat of 18 years. Rather than losing him, look how long I had him. If we could just do that in little things, we would soon become a person that others like to hang around. We'd soon become a good example in this world, and we'd soon be somebody that you can use. So today helps to be grateful, not complainer. Not ungrateful, but grateful. Not unthankful, but thankful. I want to be like the leper that come back and said, thank you, Jesus. I want to be like the woman at the well that said, oh, this man knows all about me, loves me anyway. Jesus, in this story, I want to be that father that looks for lost. And then Jesus, I want to be like the son, and I have. I've come to my senses years ago because I lived sometimes like I didn't have any sense, but you finally brought me back. You put me to use. I'm grateful for that. Thank you that Life Point's been around. I saw that picture on Facebook that I got ordained 10 years ago. If you'd told my friends in high school I was going to be a preacher, we'd all laughed. Yeah, here I am. You do amazing things with little. So, Lord, today you're not stopping and you're working. You're looking for people that want you. So today, have your will and way here in this Thanksgiving season at our church. Begin with us. So, Lord Jesus, please speak to hearts. So I've prayed, and I'm not going to offer a big invitation song. I'm just going to offer you.